Welcome to Dementia Matters, a podcast created by the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. It's our goal to humanize Alzheimer's research so that our community, our patients, our participants, and anyone else interested can get a better understanding of the work that's happening to fight back against this disease. My name is Nathaniel Chin, and I'm a geriatric memory clinic physician at the University of Wisconsin. I'm also the family member and son of someone with dementia. I'll be serving as your host for this podcast and asking the questions I believe are in the minds of many in our community. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Dementia Matters. Our guest today is Dr. Cerise Elliott, a senior research program analyst with the National Institute on Aging. Dr. Elliott has a background in neuroscience and has worked at the National Institutes of Health for about 15 years. In her current position at the NIH, she works with Alzheimer's disease researchers across the country to facilitate new scientific collaborations and help student researchers grow their careers. Dr. Elliott, it is an honor to have you join us.
Thank you for having me.
I think a lot of our listeners will recognize the name National Institutes of Health, or even the National Institute on Aging, but they might not understand what goes on there. Can you explain for the audience, what does the NIH do?
Mm-hmm. So the National Institute on Aging is part of 27 institutes and centers of the bigger agency, which is National Institute of Health. And it sits in front of the Department of Health and Human Services. But overall, the National Institutes of Health has 18,000 to 20,000 employees that work to fund federal research for all types of sciences. So we have 98% of our budget goes back out to the states and the universities and fund academic research institutions.
And so in essence, 98% is given back to the states. Would you say then that every state receives some form of NIH funding?
Yeah, it's true. Every state receives some sort of funds through their academic institutions and their academic researchers. But then also, you know, counties and states and governments are also eligible for our funds. What happens is that we have research mechanisms in which investigators can write what their ideas are in proposal. We call those like investigator-initiated ideas, and they submit what they want to do health-wise or research-wise. Also, each institute and center has a funding opportunity announcement, and so we post announcements about what we as an institute think we want researchers to focus on and what we hope to pay for that research.
I think that's nice, though. So you have two mechanisms. One, ideas that you guys are thinking about that you're hoping researchers will follow. And then two, ones that start in the state or the researcher themselves and they reach out to you.
Yes.
And you don't have to work at a university to get some of this funding? You mentioned state and county.
Yeah, state and local governments. There's like different eligibilities for a variety of people or a variety of companies, because even for-profit agencies are eligible for our funding. But our main driver is to fund biomedical research.
Okay. And these grants that we talk about, these are taxpayer dollars. So they fund projects intended to improve the health of all Americans. What are NIH's research priorities for dementia and Alzheimer's disease?
The National Institute on Aging has a database available online of all of our research goals and milestones, and there are over 80 of them. So there's lots of work to be done.
Yeah, that's a lot of goals.
It's a lot of goals.
Have the priorities changed in the past few years? Or can you give us a couple examples of new priorities?
New priorities, because it took some time to kind of ramp up and shift everything, is for recruitment and retention. We need more researchers to study new methods and improve tools on how to engage the community and discuss about studies so that they can recruit individuals and also retain individuals in the studies for the entire field.
Now, research has shown racial and economic disparities influence the risk for Alzheimer's disease. What programs does the NIA have in place to address these disparities?
So in the last 3 years, we've worked on specific program announcements to have a call for researchers to let them know that we are interested in health disparities and we are providing specific funds for health disparity research. So we have a small grant program and then a large grant program. In general, our goals are very broad. We don't have a specific kind of goal for health disparities. We just want more applications. And when I talk about diversity, I don't limit diversity to racial, ethnic diversity. I'm talking about economic disparity, neighborhood disparity, behavioral disparity, culture disparity, you know, a rural or urban kind of location, because that matters. You know, the geographical disparity. So there's lots of factors that we should include into our research, that because of the complexity of having multifactorial research, it hasn't quite been completed.
Well, so that's nice. So you clearly were making it a priority, but you're keeping it open-ended so that various ideas can get in and get potentially funded.
Yeah, and that's our goal. We just have to advertise more that we want multifactorial research. We've been spending many years on the biology of our neurons and our synapses and trying to figure out the amyloid and tau questions and kind of ignoring, you know, the social behavioral factors that might lead to a different care model or some overlooked kind of thing.
So why is it so important that we do have diverse study populations? Why is it so important that we look at all of these different multimodal variables?
The way that we're kind of doing Alzheimer's disease research right now isn't helping us find a cure or maximizing the way that we care for the disease. And we need to realize that everyone is different, has a different life experience, and that life course experience has ways to affect disease as well. The way we live our life affects our health, not just ourselves and our makeup, what air we breathe, what we eat, how we live our day, if we're couch potatoes or if we ride bikes 10 miles a day. All that affects ourselves and our organs, and we also need to, you know, understand how people live their lives.
How do we increase enrollment and retention of a diverse study population, particularly when drug studies are not succeeding?
Well, researchers need to communicate about their research to the community in improved ways. And, you know, clinical research can't happen without participants. And institutions need to make a real commitment in community engagement. As you sell yourself for a football team or a basketball team to come and booster them, you should also kind of use that model in a way to booster research participation and being part of your clinic. It's a real commitment of time and effort of the researchers to communicate to the whole community and, you know, at a state level, like, this is what we do every day, and educate people about what is going on, that they want to participate, that they know, like, because we're here in Wisconsin, that UW is doing these things and they have XYZ opportunities. I think that when people are just educated more and it isn't just a scientist doing crazy things in the corner, but you're kind of more open about what is going on and how that participants can be part of the whole infrastructure, because it's a key that's missing.
You use a good analogy too with the sports teams, because you are in Badger and Packer country here. And I think Madison in particular are very proud of our Badgers, and we've seen good turnout as far as Wisconsin participants. And I know that we strive to raise awareness and incorporate ourselves into the community. What excites you about upcoming research in the field of Alzheimer's disease and health disparities?
What I like doing in my day-to-day job is to encourage young investigators to, you know, utilize the NIH resources that we have. But in addition to just getting more young investigators established, we're also interested in workforce diversity, because diverse ideas bring new opportunities to a problem. And especially for recruitment and retention, the patients having someone at the clinic that looks like them as opposed to someone who doesn't look like them make them want to participate a little bit more when someone like them is telling them that this is a good idea.
Well, I really want to thank you for joining us on Dementia Matters, and I do hope the next time you come back, you're able to join us again.
Thank you very much for your time.
Dementia Matters is brought to you by the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. The Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center combines academic, clinical, and research expertise from the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health and the Geriatric Research, Education, and Clinical Center of the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison, Wisconsin. It receives funding from private, university, state, and national sources, including a grant from the National Institutes of Health for Alzheimer's Disease Centers. This episode was produced by Rebecca Wazaleski and edited by Zoe Rugel. Our musical jingle is Cases to Rest by Blue Dot Sessions. Check out our website at adrc.wisc.edu. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at WisconsinADRC. If you have any questions or comments, email us at dementiamatters@medicine.wisc.edu. Thanks for listening.